mean, this is quite difficult to... These things are difficult. How do you transition? I've got a word, but I'm actually just going to... I'm going to jump and just share one of the 4-5 points I had. I'm just going to share one. I've been speaking to you guys about the power of one individual making a change, that you can make a change. And, you know, I've been reading Chronicles, and oh my goodness, the first book of Chronicles, the first 8 chapters, guys, is Adam, Seth, Enosh, the son of Seth. I cannot do all these names. The son of Ham, Wakrash, Bututuk. It's just name after name. And if I'm honest, I've sometimes skipped these chapters because I'm like, Lord, I'm going to fall asleep. I cannot. I can't, ne? That honed an and an. And this week I felt I'm going to push through. I'm even going to try and pronounce some of these names. So I've been pushing through, and I was reading and I was reading. And I kid you not, after a while I was like, this is crazy. How many more chapters of who these people are? And it's a whole bunch of people. And it's 8 chapters flat. 8 hoofstukke. And it's not even broken up. It's achter mekaar. But then I got to the one, chapter 4, verse 9. And chapter 4, verse... I need Richard here, but Richard is so tired. I think he's half asleep there. I need you for this, my man. But chapter, verse 7, so if 1 Chronicles 4, if you have it there, verse 7, in fact, all the way up to there, it says, the son of Helan were Zereth, Zorah, Ethan, and Kos begot Ainab, Zokodab, difficult names, and the families of who and who was the son of Haram. And then out of nowhere comes chapter 9. And I'm half asleep the one morning, and I'm like, Lord, when is this going to end? I'm going to push through. And then comes verse 9, and it says there, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez. Listen to this, saying, because I bore him in pain. And my footnote says Jabez means he will cause pain. And I thought, this poor man, he started on a very wrong footing in life. I mean, really, how do you call your son, he will cause pain, you know? But that is what Jabez started off with. So I would say Jabez would have just, based on where he started, he should have just been a name. Now, Jabez was the son of whatever, whatever, whatever. But that's not what it says about Jabez. There's this one man in this string of how many thousands, hundreds and hundreds, and to David, it's 2,000. Hey, Richard, from Adam to David, it's 2,000 years. So in all of those years, there were so many people that lived, but yet in the Bible, God says Jabez, verse 10, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. Amen. Hey, that which his mother prophesied over him, he said, that is not what I'm taking. What the world does. I heard a guy say the other day, he says, no matter what hand you are dealt with in a deck of cards, God can win with every hand. So it doesn't really matter what the world throws at you, what house you're born into, what job you got, what marriage you got, what parents you got. It doesn't really matter what side of that railway tracks you were born. God says, if you call unto me, and it says there, so God granted him what he requested. Huh? In the middle of all of this. But you see, often there's a tension. So as I was just mesmerized by this man called Jabez, we started off the wrong footing and had every reason to just be named Jabez, the son of this, and to be carrying on in the Bible. But Jabez said, no, I'm going to call on the God of Israel. And that's what he did. So one man can make a difference. And as I was reading through and I got to the end of chapter 8, and then thankfully it changed in chapter 9 and we got to stories again. But up until then, I looked at all these names and I was like, oh my word, it's so many people. It's so many people, and you don't know these people. There's just so many people alive. And then you get this overwhelming sense of does it even matter in my life? You know, I'm just in the biggest scheme of things. I've got a puzzle. I love puzzle. Reading and puzzle, those are my weaknesses. To riches disgust. How can anybody build puzzle for fun? I've got my son and I and Christina, we like puzzles. Margaret and Richard, not so much. Okay, so I've got a 1,000-piece puzzle. And as I was reading through, Halia, she lives for him. He's like a word. And as I was reading through this, I felt God saying, yes, you're just a very small piece. But you're a small piece in my bigger puzzle. And his puzzle is not 1,000 pieces. It's a couple of billion. Imagine the amount of people that have been on this earth. But your piece, has anybody built a puzzle and you get to the end? Oh my word, we had one in America. There was a puzzle in that house and it was a difficult puzzle. Where we stayed in Reading, it was a difficult, it was a 500-piece puzzle, but it was a difficult one because, yeah, it was difficult. So it took us a couple of weeks, hey, William. And Richard was, why do you even try? Because I got frustrated with this puzzle. I said, it's a really like a puzzle. And right at the end, I kid you not, there were 3 pieces missing. And I told William, look under the couches. We are not leaving this puzzle like this. And we couldn't find the pieces. But a puzzle is not complete without every single piece in its place. And I was just so reminded this week as I was reading through all these names, one can go down, and I think that's what the enemy wants to say is, nobody will even know what you do. You're just one person in the history of the world and the history of the world to come. Nobody will even know. Does God even know? Does he even care? But then you get a Jabez. And I realize, yes, I do. And you know what? I'm not going to be the whole puzzle, but I'm going to be a piece. And if I don't do my part, if I don't play my part, this piece, this puzzle is not going to look the way God wants it to look. You know? The last thing I'm going to tell you, and then we're going to pray. William is playing hockey, played a hockey match on Friday afternoon. Margaret also played a hockey match, but I was with William's hockey match, and they moved him from a defender last year to a forward this year. I played too much hockey in my life for anybody to count, way too many games and whatever. And I told him half time, I said, because Margaret played at exactly the same time. So half time, Richard and I swapped, I watched half of his game. And half time, I said to him, when you play a forward, you play different than when you play defense. So I'm not going to go into the detail, but I said to him, now he says, but he needs to go and help the defenders. I said, no, you're not helping the defenders. You need to be at the post, okay? Even if the ball never gets there, because the once or twice it does get there, it's your job to get it in. The defenders, they need to defend. But I was just, as I was preparing, I was just reminded, like a puzzle, there's different pieces. In a game, we're a team, we're a family. In the kingdom of God, we're in an army. You can call it a team, an army, a family, whatever. But we all have a piece to play. And I remember our coach, oh my goodness, Bram was our coach for high school. He was our first team coach, and I played first team for 3-4 years. And he got so frustrated when we don't stick to the game plan. You don't try and go and help because you think that one cannot. You, each one just needs to play their part. Now, Annie is yourself to rugby. You do what you need to do and you stick to the game plan. And you don't go on and then think you're going to change the game plan because everybody, if you all stick to the game plan and you just do what you need to do, trust me, it works smoothly. It works. And you will stay on the post and probably never touch the ball, but the 5 seconds it does get there, you will score the goal that will win the game. And I was just reminded that that is exactly the same in the kingdom of God. You know, what we do is we compare. But it's not, oh, we had that. We're not so flashy. Everybody wants to be center forward or forward. Why? Because you want to score the goals, ne? Because then you can run around and you're the man of the match or whatever. But that's not, if God has called you to be a defender, then you defend. And you'd play your part. And I was just reminded that some of our pieces, there's always sky, the blue, or the grass, that's all the same. And it might look bland, and it might not feel like it's a lot. But it's important, because that's the part we get to play for the King of Kings. And it's my privilege to do my little piece in eternity, a puzzle of couple of million pieces, I'd imagine. It's my privilege to say with my life, Jesus, for the King of Kings, I will do everything I can so that my piece is in the right spot. Amen. Right. Lord, we thank you, God, that we have the privilege, the absolute privilege, God, to be part of what you are doing in this earth. Lord, I thank you, Father, that we get to serve you in that way, Lord. And I pray, God, that we will never compare. No, we will compare. But God, that you will help us to realize it quickly and to kick comparison out of our minds and out of our homes, Lord. In Jesus' name, God, I pray that we will lock eyes with you and know that I am just playing this piece for you because you are worthy of it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.